Arizona's news station, KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
Are you a parent who's concerned about letting your child play football? Tackle football, whether it's Pop Warner High School, moving on. I think I've told the story before. My brother, my nephew, Frank the Tank, is
How
a good
old
athlete.
Would you say?
He is a sophomore in high school.
Okay.
How old is that?
Is this
14, 15?
Let's go with that.
Yeah, somewhere in that range. I'm not good with ages.
I can tell.
He's a sophomore. And he's a good athlete. He plays lacrosse. He skateboards, mountain bikes. He's got a lot of athletic. And he plays flag football. Now, he plays flag football for two reasons. One, mommy and daddy, the lawyers, are not letting Frank the Tank play tackle football. He's not putting a helmet on.
Why?
Because of a concern of head injuries. Secondly, all of his friends and all of the neighborhood plays flag football, to the point that I went to the high school where he plays. I went to one of his flag football games. They no longer use the high school football field for what we call football. So, you know, you've got
end zone to end zone.
End zone to end zone. No.
100 yards.
They turn it. And they cut it into, I think it's three or four fields where you go sideline to sideline and play flag football. And you can play three or four of these things simultaneously.
Hmm.
That's how they use the field. That's how it's marked off.
The game is
they don't
changing.
Even have the goalposts anymore. And I go, does this team, they not have a high school football team? He goes, no, they don't. And they don't have a high school football team there because there weren't enough kids to play high school football.
Yeah, we see the number of kids in high school playing football decreasing pretty substantially. Eventually, it'll get to the NFL and we'll have to have those conversations then.
Mm-hmm.
But what's changed? What's changed is that we have more knowledge. We have more information about what those repeated hits that high schoolers, that junior high, you know, JV players or college or high school players are taking when it comes to football. Now, it's going to have an impact on their brain. We talk a lot about CTE and how that has impacted so many of the NFL players.
Sure.
or even the college players that we don't know if, in fact, they have it until they've died, because that's the only way that you can get a conclusive result.
That's kind of sad as well, right?
But our very own Bob McClay here at KTAR recently did a story that caught my attention, because it was something that, I'll be honest, I hadn't really known. It makes sense, though. It's kind of one of those things where, and you know, when somebody says it to you, you're like, oh, why didn't I think about that? You know, we focus so much time on the concussions, but you don't have to have a concussion in order for it to impact
Correct.
Your cognitive ability. Take a listen to this. This was some new research that was just presented in the Valley here not so long ago.
The study revealed something about the hits high school football players take.
Verbal recall seems to be one of the earlier markers of things that are affected.
Orthopedic surgery resident Kyle Walker says players who get hit harder aren't necessarily more likely to suffer a concussion.
You can have someone with a 60 G impact that suffers a concussion, and you can have someone with 160 G impact that doesn't.
Meaning even subtle hits could lead to player injuries.
Or they're harder, there's more velocity behind them.
So I know this firsthand from racing. You remember when I broke my collarbone?
Oh my goodness, yeah.
It was a big crash.
Huge crash.
I did not have a concussion. And I know this. Because I've had enough of them. I didn't have a headache. I wasn't confused, disoriented. I know when I have a concussion. I sat out of racing for 6 months once because I just felt dizzy all the time. Okay? So I can use as an example. I've had what I consider pretty small accidents. Nothing spectacular. And a week later, I'm like, God, my head still hurts. Wow, I'm having trouble with short-term memory. And I've had some what I call spectacular plane crashes. And I'm like, oh, everything else hurts, but my head's fine.
You know, about the one, I you've had a couple. I'm not saying that to, you know,
you
make fun of
eye?
You.
You going to do the eye one?
Was that the collarbone one too?
No, that was different.
That was a different, okay, so.
When my eye was red, whites of my eye was
Your
red.
Your eyes were
that
red.
That was terrifying, wasn't it? I looked like a Bond villain.
And Bruce would come to work with sunglasses, and I appreciate that because I couldn't look at you, dude.
It was, I couldn't look at myself in the mirror. It scared the hell out of me.
So the whites of your eyes were red. Why? Because of the G-force.
Yes. So
and
I can acknowledge.
The important part.
But I can acknowledge that not every bump of your head is the same. And that's something I learned also in dealing with neurologists and brain experts as I was dealing with my issues was, and I'll never forget the guy who said, you know, what we don't know about the brain dwarfs what we do know about the brain. And his point was, we could have two people who suffer the exact same trauma or injury, and their prognoses are 180 degree different. And the doctor, the neurologist told me, we don't know why.
Yeah,
we don't know why.
But for those of us out there who are not race car drivers and don't have a neurologist on speed dial, kind of information
and an orthopedist
is is concerning. And I think it's eye opening. And while I get that football, it's their turn in the barrel. Well, they're the target of these types of studies, and they get a bad rap because it's a brutal sport. But it's where most of the hits take place. Mm-hmm. I think that the information that we're learning, not just on CTE, but this one that shows that it's not necessarily the concussive hits.
The big ones.
It is a certain G-force level.
Yes.
And getting so many of these hits over a period of time that's impacting the brain. So you can go through all the concussion protocols that you want. You're still not going to get an accurate account of what the silent brain is. Injury is. I understand that football gets targeted for it because it's brutal and that's where a lot of this happens, but we can learn from this for other sports out there. You talked about your nephew playing lacrosse.
Yeah.
That can get brutal.
It can.
My daughter plays girl soccer.
She's still at
an age where they can't head the ball quite yet, but that is something that is definitely concerning to me. And the more that we learn, I think the better decisions that we can make. And for some families, that decision is just not to allow their kids to play football.
But don't you think one of the headlines that comes out of this is that head injuries, brain injuries, CTE, I know I'm lumping a bunch of things together, memory loss, cognitive abilities.
Yeah, decline.
It is not necessarily only impacting any athlete.
Sure.
Who gets knocked silly, gets knocked out. Eyes roll back in their head, need smelling salts, that it is these minor, smaller impacts that are having negative effects. Because I think what people were concerned about, and I use the NFL as an example, where they've tried to come up with all these rules to keep these super big hits out of the game. The one where the guy, you know, the defensive back comes and he lowers his head and he labels the wide receiver and his feet go up in the air and, ooh, and the guy's lying on the field for 5 minutes. They've tried to get rid of that because they said, well, that's what's causing head injuries. What we're finding is there's a lot of other things that are causing problems on a football field that have nothing to do with knocking a guy cold.
But we see how times are changing. That scenario that you just laid out, Bruce, I go back to, you know, being raised in Pittsburgh mm-hmm. and going to Steelers games.
Yeah.
You see that kind of hit, people would stand
up. Decleated him, right? Yeah, knocked him silly.
Nowadays, you see that kind of hit and like you can hear a pin drop.
Gets quiet.
Because we now know. We didn't know before. Now we know. And there's still a ton mm-hmm. we still have to learn. But you see these different choices that are being made. And, you know, I think that this kind of research is critical because it's just showing that these high schoolers, the entire team didn't have a concussion all year long, but they put these G-force
monitors
in the helmet.
Got it.
And so they were able to see like the impact of the hits, even though there wasn't a concussion. And they tested these high schoolers on some cognitive abilities. And they were 30% worse on those tests at the end of the season than they were beforehand. That's a moment of pause.
And these aren't, again, and these weren't kids weren't all like under concussion protocol or anything.
No. They didn't have a concussion on the team all season long.
I think we're learning that a concussion,
which is still hard to diagnose, too.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
But you can have a concussion and possibly not suffer serious brain damage, but you can also have brain damage and not have a concussion. It used to be you thought it was only a one-way street.
If the story is, kind of striking a chord with you and you want to learn more about it, head on over to KTAR.com. You'll see the story there. It says, study shows loss of verbal memory recall after high school football season. It's definitely worth a read.
Agreed. Thanks a lot. Bob did a great job on that. So is this really a trend? Are you a business owner? Are you a boss? Have you had employees ghost you? And what I mean by that is, did you just have someone not show up for work? And you just never heard from them again? Apparently it's a thing.
Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
I mentioned this this ghosting. And Martha Maurer, KTAR news director, you hear her do the news sometimes, right?
Yeah.
Martha said, oh my God, we had that happen. I go, what do you mean? She said, we actually had a reporter. And he was scheduled to do anchoring, what Bob McClay is doing.
Yes.
And she goes, he didn't show up.
I remember this.
And we reached out and we didn't hear back.
Uh-huh.
And we never heard another thing again. Hold on. And then some of our staff attended ASU graduation where one of our reporters was graduating and saw him there.
Yeah.
And the first thing was like, well, at least you're alive. But what happened?
Right. Exactly.
He ghosted us. He just never showed up for work and never communicated again.
And it's becoming more and more common when it shouldn't. Half of millennials and half Gen Zers say that they have ghosted an employer for a higher paying job opportunity. Now, ghosted, ghosted means it's like a no call, no show. All right.
No call, no show.
You don't let anybody know you're not coming back. You just don't come back.
You just save the part about I quit. You just never get around to that.
And why don't you get around to it?
You're trying to avoid conflict?
Potentially.
You're not.
But you know what? I just think it's so rude. I think it's so disrespectful.
Yeah. I'll give you that.
I think it's a lack of character. You called me old for that and, get off my lawn. No. Yeah. These are values
today
that I have that I'm going to raise my daughter with. And I think that everybody should have, because I think that there is a bit of hypocrisy when you have folks who have ghosted and they say, you know what? Okay, they're looking for more money. Fine. You don't like your job. You don't want to stay there. You don't want to give a two-week
notice. You got a better offer?
You don't want to give a 2 weeks notice. You want to leverage your job to get more money someplace else. Man, you're in the hustle. I'm not mad at that. You just have to let somebody know. You don't want to go back to the office. Like, call, text, do something. Let them know. That's all I'm asking. And when they say that they're looking for good compensation, more money, fine.
All right.
But they're
Everybody
also
is.
Looking for, what's the company's mission? And the culture of the company is a priority.
So you're
worried about the culture of a company, but yet your own character is one that's rude and selfish. That doesn't match for me.
I can see where you say that. We've seen that before when people say, why do they stay at a job or why are they enticed to stay there? The culture, the attitude, the boss,
sure,
things like that. But it does fly in the face. Again, when you see the number here, half of millennials and Gen Zers say they have ghosted an employer.
There's so much wrong with this on so many different levels. But we asked you on our open mic line about this. I don't know if we have many Gen Zers listening, but I'm sure that we've got
kids today. Get off my lawn!
We've got others who are employers out there. So we asked on the open mic line, brought to you by Carol Royce with Keller Williams Realty. If you've experienced this, take a listen.
Hi, my name is Michelle from Phoenix. I'm the boss here in Phoenix at a retail store.
Okay.
And I recently had one of my coworkers ghost me. And I thought that they were hurt. So I had to reach out to their emergency contact, and it was their parents telling me that they no longer wanted to work for me. And I think it is about integrity and respect. And I think that people should at least let people know, because I was actually worried about this person as a human being.
Nobody doesn't show up to work. You think something bad happened.
So we had a fill-in producer. This was not Steve Easy. We had, and this was before you. We had somebody
was
sick
vacation
and out.
And I wasn't here for this.
And we had a fill-in producer. And it was somebody who we'd seen before, and he'd filled in before.
Show before, yeah.
And I remember I show up, and there's nobody there.
And I was off that day,
right.
So you had somebody
else. And so we're sitting around, and we got almost to showtime. Like, there's no producer here. Nobody ever showed up. So my thought, like hers, oh, my God, maybe there's been an accident.
Right.
I hope this person's okay. We never heard from them again, except to find out they weren't dead.
My name is Ryan. I'm 29 years old. I run a business in the Phoenix Valley. And it honestly surprises me that between me, 29 years old, and the generation just after me, the amount of disrespect there is.
Yeah.
I've had employees just completely ghost me. Don't know if they're dead, Don't know if it's a family emergency. Don't know what's going on.
Right, exactly. And you don't want to continue working there? Then don't. Send a text message, for goodness sakes. Not that I'm saying that's okay.
But that would be the least you could do.
I am looking at it on a scale here. You know, you're at least acknowledging that you're not coming back.
Hey, this is Jason from Santan Valley. I am a manager in healthcare, and I have just had an employee ghost me the other day. And his spouse works for me as well.
Oh, geez.
And told me that his reason was that if I was to fire him, I would not give him a two-week notice. So therefore, he gave me no notice.
You know what?
How does the spouse keep working there? How is that? That's got to be a little awkward. So, hey, by the way, what happened to your husband? Oh, he quit. Okay, well, why wasn't he telling me that?
And I get the argument that the guy was making. Well, hey, if you're going to fire me, you're not going to give me a two-week notice. Yeah, but I'm at least going to tell you. Can you at least give me that, telling me?
Well, it is awkward
really
if you show up and
the
they're like,
bar low
your
in
key
all
card
of
doesn't
this.
Work anymore.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, those calls on the open mic line brought to you by Carol Royce, the leader in Arizona's real estate. We'll get your home sold guarantee or should buy it for cash. Go to CarolHasTheBuyers.com.
The good news? The New Hampshire primary apparently went a lot smoother than Iowa. The bad news, maybe for the D's, is who's out front. We're going to talk a little bit about that, including we have not one, not two, but three candidates on the D side dropped out today. We'll give you the latest on that coming up next on Arizona's News Station.
KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
I got to tell you, Pamela, it was a fierce battle, if you will. You have presumptive front runners. You have upstarts. But it all came down to Seba the Standard Poodle won the Westminster Dog Show last night in a bit of an upset because people thought that Daniel the Golden Retriever would win. Daniel came in a distant third. It's unclear if Daniel's going to be able to continue and continue to raise money because, again, Bourbon the Whippet came in second. So the Westminster Dog Show.
It was rigged. Fake news.
We shall see. Oh, by the way, they also voted in Vermont.
Oh, yeah.
And
not Vermont.
We had a Vermont.
They didn't.
No, New Hampshire. But the guy from Vermont won in New Hampshire.
And his name is?
Bernie Sanders?
Okay, we got one thing right here.
We saw the first decisive results of this primary season, a big moment for those new frontrunners, Bernie Sanders and Pete Buttigieg, but with moderates and progressives still split and the top candidates vowing to fight on, this contest is anything but settled.
Yeah, it is anything but settled, but already it's the will Biden go away, you know, before Super Tuesday.
You know who is going away?
Who?
We lost not one, not two, but three people today.
And it's moving quickly because we only had two of the three moments ago. Take a listen.
Last night was also the end of the line for two presidential hopefuls, Senator Michael Bennet and newcomer Andrew Yang. He sparked quite a movement with that plan to give $1,000 a month to every American and developed a cult following. Last night he tweeted to his followers, known as the Yang Gang, saying, "We'll be back."
Okay, so Bennet out, Yang out. Who else out, Bruce?
Deval Patrick. And he was one of these that got in really, really late for reasons unbeknownst to anybody and just never.
I'll start caring about candidates when they drop out when it's names like Elizabeth Warren.
Well, there's a
or
question.
Or Joe Biden.
So here's something that I'm unclear.
Names that matter.
Looking at New Hampshire, and you could get caught up in the horse race and who was first and who was second, and I get all that. I realize it's important on some level. But going back 4 years ago, 2016, the New Hampshire primary, it was the front runners were Hillary and Bernie. Right?
Yeah.
What does it say to you, Pamela, that Bernie Sanders got a much smaller percentage of the vote this time than he did 4 years ago?
Okay, so perspective's important. 2016, Bernie Sanders won New Hampshire, just like he won in 2020. But he won New Hampshire in 2016 with 60% of the vote.
Okay. That's a resounding win.
Bernie Sanders won New Hampshire yesterday with roughly 27% of the vote.
Does that say something about Bernie Sanders?
I don't know if it necessarily says something about Bernie specifically. I think the bigger issue is with the entire Democratic Party. You have too many candidates, too many cooks in the kitchen kind of thing.
Okay. Splitting the vote.
Yeah, exactly. So they're looking to get delegates. You need 1,900 delegates to get the nominee. And when you have all of these candidates that are still in the race, they just keep cutting up that pie and getting smaller and smaller slices of it, which I think what you're seeing in New Hampshire last night could give momentum to the idea that it's a brokered convention, that no one candidate, if they all decide to like stick through this for the long haul, because listen, Bennett, Yang, and Duvall, they weren't sucking up a bunch of delegates, okay?
No, but the small percentage of their allegedly, so the race is on right now going, of the few supporters they had, where do they go?
Right. And will any one candidate get the number of delegates necessary to get the nomination prior to the convention? I think that's what you could take away from Bernie getting 60% of the vote in 2016 to 27% of the vote.
But you understand how I looked at that and say, okay, is that a crack in the armor? Is that a...
In whose armor?
In Bernie's. That, yes, he is a front runner, but he doesn't have quite the momentum or head of steam that he had 4 years ago. And how did that turn out?
Well, I think he still has momentum, and I think he still has some steam. But I think that when you... He's not the only one who's a socialist running right now, right?
Yeah, but Elizabeth Warren did not... If you add Elizabeth Warren's total to his, you don't get anywhere near 60.
Fair enough.
You see what I'm saying? I'm looking at it from ideology. Is the ideology of the people showing up in Democratic primaries shifted? Or do people know more about Bernie than they did 4 years ago, and they aren't as supportive as they once were?
They're not feeling the burn?
Maybe it just burned too long for them. And they're like, okay, that's enough burning.
Gotta get out of that kitchen.
Hot and her.
There are too many chefs and it's hot.
Yeah. So to recap, last night, if you're going by the rank, you have Bernie number one, Mayor Pete second, but by a very small percentage second, right? Practically a toss-up. Senator Klobuchar in third. Elizabeth Warren fourth, Joe Biden fifth. And now the worry is, or the concern is, can Joe Biden survive? Is he the next one to tap out, as he is counting on, what is it, South Carolina and Nevada are next?
Yeah, Nevada's next, and South Carolina is where he supposedly, you know, is going to get this groundswell. I think a lot of it also comes down to money. How much money does he have left? I mean, you start burning through that stuff. Can you continue?
And we talked about this. So if it is about money, and we understand that that is a huge part of anybody running for president, doesn't this all become a moot point when Bloomberg and, to a certain extent, Steyer have a nearly unlimited amount of it that they can spend?
Yeah, Steyer still doesn't have the name recognition, though. Biden has the name recognition because he's a vice president.
Bloomberg, he runs $40 million in TV commercials. He'll be more of a name recognition than the Kardashians.
Money most definitely can give you a leg up. And with Bloomberg, you've got the conversation as to whether or not you can buy the presidency.
Seems right? like what he's trying to do.
Yeah, exactly. But it's not the only thing. It's not the only thing. I think that, you know, Nevada, it's going to tell us a little bit more, but there's a new poll out that kind of caught my attention.
Okay.
Because it shows it's a Monmouth University poll.
Okay.
Two-thirds of voters. Now I'm talking about voters, Republicans, not Democrats, not independents, not libertarians, voters, everybody. Yeah, you voters, two-thirds of you believe Donald Trump will be reelected. 38% of Democrats think he's likely to win another term in office.
Yeah.
And I think that if that story there, if this poll gains more momentum, it could be quite damaging to the Democratic Party.
Well, do you think that's people assuming also, if you're looking at it, that it's going to be Bernie versus Trump?
And no, by the way,
if that's the thing, no. I would agree with that.
It's way too soon to say that. I think what you're looking at is, you know, the president has been in office for 4 years and, you know, the incumbent usually wins. Economy is good. So it's an uphill battle for somebody to try to come in and rock that apple cart, so to speak. But where have we seen a situation where the majority of Americans think that the outcome is a foregone conclusion and they lose interest? We saw it in the impeachment hearing.
Okay.
Everybody already felt like, okay, you know what? You're going through this exercise just to go through this exercise. But we know how this is going to end.
Yeah.
So what happened? People didn't pay attention. They didn't watch. They weren't engaged. They figured there was no mystery, intrigue. They didn't feel like they were going to learn anything new. It was what it was. And so they didn't watch. I wonder if people believe that this is just going to be a foregone conclusion to begin with. Democrats as well in here, which was kind of surprising to me. And they're just like, you know what? Yeah, and they stay home.
That's the big thing. It comes down to turnout, right? If people stay home and don't vote, who does that benefit?
Did you hear anything about turnout yesterday in New Hampshire? Like what it was?
I heard it wasn't as much as it was 4 years ago.
Same thing with Iowa.
Yeah.
So what is that telling you about the Democratic Party?
Yeah.
Not engaged.
Again,
as much.
I would make an argument that there is also some of this is just hurry up and get down to one. We don't care. We're voting for anyone whose name isn't Trump on the D side. Or are they? Well, the Bernie bros stick with them. Might be one of the reasons why you think we're going to heck in a handbasket. Pamela says she can restore your faith in humanity. That's coming up next right here on Arizona's News Station.
Arizona's News Station. KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
The happiest place on earth might soon be considered one of the most expensive places on earth. We are learning that Disneyland is raising prices once again. It's like annual, don't they? They just like every year, prices keep creeping up. And now you're talking about almost $200 a day?
Well, it depends. It depends on when you're going and what kind of ticket you get. I mean, if you're going on a peak day.
Is there a Groupon I can get for that?
No, there's not an app for that.
There's not an app for that.
If you're going on like on a peak day during the holiday season and you're looking to get a park hopper pass, yeah, you're going to be kissing you know, two bills.
Do you think people understand also the peak days? There's actually a website you can go to and you can find out like the average people per day. So you can find out the days that the park is packed to the absolute gills. And by the way, those are the days they charge more.
Sure. I mean, you just go to buy the tickets online, which is something that I did last month. And you can click on the different days and it'll tell you and you can see how the price changes given the popularity and
supply and demand.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Pretty simple.
But they're going up again.
Yeah.
They're going up again. They went up last year. And it's a small increase. I want to say it's about like 3% or something along those lines.
Okay.
But and you've got people that are chirping and complaining about it.
Chirping.
And if you are upset about the percentage increase, chances are you weren't going to be able to afford it last year, let alone this year. I'm not trying to be mean. It's just the idea, you know, we went for a day. I have never been to Disneyland before in my life.
It was blasphemous.
I know. People were like, really? You've never? No. Yeah. I went to Disney World when I was a kid.
Not the same.
I went to Disneyland in November.
Walt
took my daughter for
the
first time. I know
World.
You always say that. I don't really care about that. So we went, and we went for a day. And the reason why we went for the day, one, I didn't have a whole lot of time to go. And two, it's expensive. So we made the most of our day. We got the park hopper pass. We went from California Adventure back over to Disneyland. We were there when the gates opened at 8. We left at about 10:30, 10:45. So we were almost there the entire time, shy 15 minutes. And I averaged it out. Let's say our tickets weren't $200, but let's say they were. $200. We were literally in the park for 15 hours. It comes out to like $13.50 an hour for entertainment.
If you work it out like that.
Per person. It's all about perspective.
Well, and I think that, the fact that math is difficult for a lot of people, because I had some people chiming in like, you guys like to snowboard, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Let me tell you,
what's a lift ticket go for?
It depends on where you're going. They could be $1.50, $2 as well for a lift ticket if you're walking up to the gate and buying it.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's for a day of entertainment, granted.
Absolutely it is.
It might not have characters with large heads, and it might not be playing It's a Small World in the background, but you're getting to have fun with it. So it all comes down to this. And I guess my problem I have is the predictable outrage that you get around this from people that think that somehow Disney, a private corporate, maybe it's because the word park is in there. It's not a public park. It is a private park. Okay. It is a for-profit park. And it is their job, okay, to run a profitable business, not their job to make the park as cheap as possible so you can go. And if your argument is Disneyland is getting too expensive to take a family to afford to, by the way, I would argue, yes, it is. But that doesn't mean you can't do other things. And if you want to go to Disneyland, understand you're going to pay through the nose. You know what else you're going to pay through the nose for? A trip for four to Paris. Okay. Hey, it's not Paris's job to make it affordable.
How about Fiji? Can we make Fiji more affordable?
Fiji.
I want to go.
Hashtag make Fiji
yeah.
more affordable.
Yeah, I want to go.
Well,
yeah.
There you go.
But you know what? Not in the cards right now.
No.
Why? Because it's so expensive.
Yeah.
You're not guaranteed or owed anything.
Yeah. Disneyland does not owe you a cheap vacation. As a matter of fact, you could certainly make an argument at the way that they do things is the exact opposite. Sorry, folks. Park's closed. Don't worry. Gift shop's open another 3 hours.
Yeah. That's right.
Get a $7 pencil while you're here. All right. It might be one of the reasons why you think we're going to heck in a handbasket. Pamela says she can restore your faith in humanity.
Yeah. You know what? I thought that this was it was a cute story. We've got the oldest man. Yeah. Guinness Book World Records has officially confirmed the oldest living man is 112 years old.
Oof.
And 344 days as of today. Born March 5th, 1907.
Wow.
Yeah. And you know what? What is the secret, they ask, of living a long life? It's super simple. Don't get angry and keep a smile on your face. I challenge you that today on Wednesday, hump day.
Yeah.
Right? You know, to don't get angry and keep a smile on your face. You'd be amazed at what it can do for you.
You know, there's a part of me that says, I get this, and we get the over... Do you really want to be 112?
He looks happy.
Okay.
All right. This guy looks happy.
I see a lot of these people, you know, they're 100 and something, and I'm like, I don't... That doesn't... That looks tough. All right. Well, good for him. Hey, we look through the Double Pane Bulletproof Glass. We've got DJ Tommy Two-Tone, Super Producer CBC, and don't go anywhere. The noon KTAR news expansion is coming up next. 15 minutes, nonstop news, traffic, weather, everything you need to know.